Somebody asked me recently what the mokha is for that we can rely on our own good sense, that the Torah is machshav the way we think, and we can assume that if something appears logical to us, that that is in fact right. You see that in the Gemara, because the Gemara says many times, the Gemara learns a certain halacha from a pasuk, and then the Gemara will ask, Lomo liko svaruhu? Why do you need a pasuk for that? I would know it without the pasuk. Why? Because it's illogical that it should be any other way. So apparently, the Ribbono Shel Olam is soimach on our svara, because the Gemara is asking, why did he have to put a pasuk in the Torah in order to teach me this and that halacha if I could have known it from my own sechel? So where is the taka a mokah for that? That svara, that the Ribbono Shel Olam trusts our good sense in making decisions. Very, very interesting question. So Dafka, I have been learning recently, I'm learning Maseches Brachos with the Chavrusa, and we were thinking a lot, we spent a lot of time thinking about the assumption which the Gemara makes, that when we say Kriyas Shema, the mitzvah of Kriyas Shema is a mitzvah of Kabbalas Oil Malchus Shomayim. The Gemara says that you should spend a long time on Echad. How long? So that you can be Mamlech, the Ribbono Shel Olam, north, south, east, and west, and up and down. It's an exercise in being mamlich the Ribbono Shel Olam, in declaring him king. Now, l'chaira, it doesn't say that in the pasuk. The pasuk is talking about the fact that the Ribbono Shel Olam is one. Shema Yisrael, Hashem Elokeinu, Hashem Echad, the Yichud of the Ribbono Shel Olam. The Rambam calls it Ha'amonas HaYichud, that the mitzvah of Kriyas Shema is to believe that the Ribbono Shel Olam is one, and doesn't have any helpers, doesn't need to come on to anybody. He's the one all-powerful being. So that's what we say when we say Kriyas Shema. Where does that mention anything about Malchus Shomayim? It's doch muchrach that the pshat is like this, that the Torah relies on our own good seichel to say, hey, if the Ribbono Shel Olam is taka a yochid, and there's nobody who can tell him anything, and there's nobody who can argue with him, and there's nobody who has any power other than he, so then, obviously, he is my melech, and I'd better be mekabel his oil, the oil of his malchus. Forget about what exactly the finer philosophical points of that are, but it seems to me that this most basic, well, second most basic, mitzvah, the Rambam has it in the second mitzvah of the Sefer Mitzvahs, of the mitzvahs I say. The first one really is the same also, when we think about it. You know that there's a machlokes Rishonim, not all Rishonim count Anochi Hashem Elokecha, Asher Yitzichum Eretz Mitzrayim. The first of the Aseres Adibros, not all the Rishonim counted as an assay, because it's not an assay, it's just stating a fact, it's not commanding us to do something. And nevertheless, you see that the Rambam, for example, does count it, and most of the Shoinim do count it. And what is the mitzvah? The mitzvah is to be maimon, to believe that there's a Ribbono Shel Olam. However we define our belief, again, the philosophy doesn't matter so much at this point, but what matters is that the Ribbono Shel Olam makes a statement. The Ribbono Shel Olam makes that statement, and from that statement he assumes or hopes or demands that we draw a conclusion. Oh, the Ribbono Shel Olam took us out of Mitzrayim. The Ribbono Shel Olam took us out of Mitzrayim. So he must be all powerful. He must be a Ribbono Shel Olam, because that was involved in Nissim, and so on and so forth. That the whole philosophical Mahalach that Yetzias Mitzrayim points to a Ribbono Shel Olam is mit koyach svara. So it's very interesting, at least I found it very interesting, that the two most basic, perhaps, mitzvahs in the Torah, belief in the Ribbono Shel Olam and the willingness to be mekabel, the oil of his malchus, are both toloi in healthy human intellect. It's a conclusion that we have to draw. When I first thought of this, I sort of thought in my mind that this is related to the famous Mesilas Yesharim, that the Mesilas Yesharim says by Hasidus. Says, what is Hasidus? Hasidus is that we don't do just what it says in the Torah, but whatever it says in the Torah, we see, the Ribbono Shel Olam wants this, and this is the minimum which he demands of us, so surely I should expand that and do much more. And he compares that to a loving son when his father comes home. So there are lots of things. The father comes home very tired from work. And so what is the ideal home? Is the ideal home where the father comes home and he tells his son, could you bring me my slippers? Could you make me a cup of coffee? Where's my chair? I'd like to sit down a little bit and rest. Or is it enough if the father just says, I'm tired, and then the son runs to bring the slippers and runs to bring the tea, because he understands that the tiredness of the father is mechayev that. So there's a great deal that the Torah asks of us and demands of us, which really is only incumbent upon us if we use our seichel. And if we don't use our seichel, then we won't know this. Elomai Zetman, that the Torah says, well, you have a seichel, and if you have a seichel, you'd better use it. I heard once Rav El Yisrael, the Philadelphia Rosh Yeshiva, once said over in one of his droshes, I think it was in Torah Masorah, in the Akuda, I don't remember. So he brought from the Mashgiach, Rav Chatzkel Zecher Tzadik Lebrocha, Rav Chatzkel Levenstein, the Mashgiach of the Mir, it said a very, very interesting thing. We all remember that in Bahaloscha, by the Slav, so Moshe Rabbeinu, Vayomer Moshe El Hashem, Lama Hare Oysa La Abducho, Velama Loi Motsosi Chain Beinecho, Losum Es Maso Kol Om Haze Oloi. Moshe Rabbeinu, he just gave up. He said, I just cannot handle these people. Hey, Onoichi Horisius Kol Om Haze. Did I, what do you call it, when a woman becomes expecting a baby, it's called Heroyon. Did I have heroyan of this nation? Did I bear him? That you are saying to me, go carry him in your lap, like the nursing mother would carry the nursing baby. Moshe Rabbeinu says, look, you're demanding too much of me. You're demanding of me to be like a nursing mother, and just like the nursing mother cares unbelievably much for her child, and therefore will do anything for him, even if the things are very, very hard. We all know what it is to a parent, a little baby, getting up 25 times during the night, and nochamol, and this and that. It's very, very difficult, but people find the strength within themselves to do it. So the Moshe Rabbeinu said, I'm not a mother, why do I have to do this sort of thing? So, if I understood Rav Eli correctly, so the Mashgiach said, well, where did the Ribbono Shel Olam say you're supposed to be that way? We don't find a pasuk in the Torah where the Ribbono Shel Olam said to Moshe Rabbeinu, so eyu b'cheikecho kasha yiso ho'aymen es hayoynek. We don't find it anywhere that the Ribbono Shel Olam said that to him. No, so if we don't find it anywhere, so what's Moshe Rabbeinu saying? You told me that. So, if I understood Rav Eli correctly, he said that the Mashgiach said that Moshe Rabbeinu felt within himself that he has these kaifas. And once he feels in himself that he has these kaifas, it is obligatory on him. He has to draw the conclusion, if the Ribbono Shel Olam gave me these kaifas, it must be that the Ribbono Shel Olam wants me to use them. So his seichel is mechayev. And he is complaining, he said, look, you gave me these kaifas, and so I know that that's what I'm supposed to do, but I can't, it's getting too much. Again, the same idea, that we are in situations in which the circumstances are such that a healthy and intelligent mind will say to the person, look, since such and such is so and so, so obviously the Ribbono Shel Olam wanted you to do that. What's all that got to do with Vayakhel? It has to do with Vayakhel because of this unbelievable Ramban. There's such a beautiful Ramban in Perek Lamed Hei, Posuk Chof Aleph. So what does it say in Posuk Chof Aleph? Vayovoyu kol ish asher nesor libo v'chol asher nodvoru choy oisoy heviyu es trumas Hashem. So there seem to be two groups of people over here. The first group are the ones that kol ish asher nesor libo, I looked in Askel, they translated, they inspire, where his heart inspired him. The Loshon of Ibn Ezra is interesting. Loshon of Ibn Ezra is, Vayokal Isha Shenesoi Libo Him Chachme Lev, Vatam Shiyeshlo Lev Rom. He has a high heart. What his heart tells him makes him enormously confident, makes him a bailim over whatever it is that the heart is telling him. Zog de Ramban, Vayokal Isha Shenesoi Libo. Those are the artisans. Those are the people who came to Bezalel and said, "Look, we want to help you with the work." They're the people whose hearts lifted them up. They had a high heart, a heart which imbued them with unbelievable confidence. Listen to this. You don't need an uplifting heart in order to give tzedakah. They have to be generous. So generous people give money, proud, self-confident people report for work when they know that they have their talent. That's what the Ramban says. The Tama Shandasoi Liboy, the Kavoel Hamelocha, Kiloi Hoyo Bohem Shilomad es Hamelocha so Elim Melamed. Where did they learn all this artistry from? You know what was involved in the Mishkan with these tapestries and the carpets, and you weave it from this side, you weave it from that side. Here the pattern is like this, here the pattern is like that, and all the ornamentation on the gevirim, on the menorah. I mean, this needed very, very skillful workmen. And they didn't learn that from anybody. Because in Mitzrayim they were slaves, and surely the Mitzrayim weren't about to teach their slaves all this artistry. And in the Midbar they certainly didn't have any lessons, any shops to learn these things from. They didn't have one moment of practice. Even if you know the theory that this is how you're supposed to do that, this would be a good way of doing that, so you know that the theory is like that, but you have to have practice till you get it right, until you train your fingers and your eyes to the fingers to move, the eyes to see exactly what fits in where. That takes a lot of practice, but they didn't have any practice at all. These people, they knew that they were good with their hands and their fingers, and they knew that the Ribbono Shelom had given them that talent. Oh wow. He knew that this is what the Ribbono Shelom wants from him. How did he know that this is what the Ribbono Shelom wants from him? Because that is the talent which the Ribbono Shelom gave him. So he felt confident. He said, if this is what Hashem wants, so he's not going to let me goof. He's not going to let me make a fool of myself. I've got the talent. I'll go to Bezalel. He'll tell me what to do, and I'll do it. I never had any practice in this. I can do it. The Ribbono Shel Olam wants me to do that. Lo, ani ese kol asher adonim daver. You test me. I'm going to do whatever you tell me to do. I'm going to be able to do it. Isn't that moiradik? And that is mamish the same thing again. That the Ribbono Shel Olam is samech on our svara. Lomo likro svarahu. What do you need that I should have sent you a teacher and to teach you, and that you have hours of practice? Svarahu. You know that you're talented. You know that you're smart. You know that you can visualize things in a three-dimensional way. Go ahead and do it. Tell Bezalel you're willing to do it. He'll tell you chashkayim what to do, and you'll do it. That's my yodik. I see that as as such an enormous limud for us in this a tiny little pasuk, Perek Lamed Hei, pasuk Chof Aleph. Vayovoyo kol ish asher nesoa'o libo. A person's heart can lift him up. A person's heart can lift him up and tell him, you can do this. This is something that you can do. and we're not supposed to be afraid, and we're not supposed to be not trusting ourselves. We're supposed to dafkia trust ourselves. If the Ribbono Shel Olam gave us this talent, that is what we're supposed to do. Emes is that there's a very, very interesting shtickle in the Shara Bitochen of the Chovos Halvavos. Chovos Halvavos is the basic Musa Sefer, the Tata of all the Musa Sforim. I remember Baruch Shishir Zeret Tzadik Rebbe Aaron Cutler, always during Musa Seder, he was always learning the Chovos Halvavos. And in the Shara Bitochen, I see in my Shara Bitochen, I haven't learned the Chovos Halvavos for a long time, but I remember this shtickel, and I see that I marked it with ink, because the Chovos Halvavos talks there about the need to make a panosa, that people have to have a panosa. That's just a metzias. Says in Eric Silber on the Efler, going to work, you have to have a panosa. So the question is, which the Chovos Halvavos is working out over here, is how does a person know what panosa he should choose? There's such a huge huge range of possibilities. I can work with my hands, I can work with my head, I can work with this and I can work with that. What should I choose? So at first he says, look, if you're very, very strong and not very smart, so do the heavy work. You know, that's a very, very good answer, that if you're very strong and not so smart, so it's good to be occupied. That's a Moyer de Gezach. That's the Gaon in the beginning of Bereshis. It's one of those unbelievable Gaons when the Ribbono Shel Olam said to Adam HaRishon, Arugo ho Adomo ba'avurecha. The Gaon said, the Ribbono Shel Olam said to Adam HaRishon, Arugo ho Adomo ba'avurecha. So the Gaon points out that because of you, there are two ways in Lashon HaKodesh in which you can say because of you. There's one way, Biglolecha, and there's one way, Ba'avurecha. So the difference between the two is that Biglolecha is, it's your fault. Yeah, you caused this and this and this to happen. Ba'avurecha means for your sake. And Ribbono Shel Olam is telling Olam HaRishon, you know what, I put you in Gan Eden where you didn't have to do any work. And you went and did an avera. You shouldn't have done that. So it seems that because you weren't busy, so you allowed yourself to be persuaded in an inappropriate way. Never mind if we know pshat in the Eitz Hadas, we don't know pshat in the Eitz Hadas, we don't know pshat in the Eitz Hadas, we taka don't know pshat. But whatever it is, there is a story there which tells us that however that wrong choice was made, or whatever was implicit in making that choice, it was a bad choice. And the Gaon says that, the Ribbono Shel Olam says, I'm going to keep you busy. You're going to be busy your whole day weeding the stuff, and every time you weed it, 2 minutes later, there'll be another weed growing there, and you're going to be very, very busy. And that is for your sake. Without going into Cain and Hevel now, I think that's why Cain became an Oved Adoma, because the Torah says he should be. It says, and the Ribbono Shel Olam sent them out of Gan Eden, so Cain said, okay, that's what we're supposed to do, so I'm going to do it. Hevel chose differently, it's a different story. But the vote is that this agriculture is a very, very heavy kind of work. It's a lot of work. And the Ribbono Shel Olam prescribed for Adam HaRishon that it's good for you at this point of your life, it's good for you to engage in this kind of work. So that's what he says, that if he's very, very like a strong person, but not too smart, and so learning is not for him, so he should do heavy kind of work. But Mishu Cholosh Begufoy Vakarosa Chazaka. But let's say somebody is weak and he has a terrific intellect. Al Yivakesh Misibos HaTeref Mashimiyageya HaGuf. So he shouldn't go and look for the kind of work to do which is going to break his body. Ach Yate El Mashiyir Kal Al Gufoy V'yuchol Lahasmid Olav. And now he says this famous Yesod. He says, Ulchol Odom Yesh chefetz b'melocha oisachayra mibilti zulosa. People have a feeling towards some kind of work or some kind of business, exclusive of others. And kvahit biach okel lo b'tivo. And the Ribbon Shem made it that way, that the Ribbon Shem put the teva in him, and so he b'tivo avo b'chibo. And he says, "V'chein b'shoah ha'chayim." And the Ribbon Shem did that not only to humans, that he implanted into them a feeling towards this. I think I'm going to enjoy that. I'm good at that. It's the kind of thing that I enjoy doing, and I know if I do that, I'm going to have a fulfilled life. And he says the same thing is by the animals. V'chein b'shoah ha'chayim, k'mo sh'hitbiya b'teva ha'chasud, tzedas ha'achbarim. Yeah, the how does the cat know that it's supposed to catch mice? Maybe it's supposed to eat radishes. The answer is because the teva of the cat is that it's attracted to mice, and so it knows what it has to do. Or teva hanets say das masheroi loim in ha'oif. The vultures, they know which bird to catch. Or teva ha'ayil say das anochoshem. V'chein yesh min ha'oifes shiyotzudu hadogim. The herons, I guess you call them, these birds which have to catch the fish, and later on a few lines later, yeah. So the evorov ruuyin ledova haru, and the Ribbon Shem made the limbs of these animals appropriate to the kind of panosa that they should have, kepeh heoruch, like a long beak, vahashoyk heoruch, and the long legs, leoyf shuru tzodes hadogim, and so on and so forth. So what I was saying over here is that the Ribbon Shalom Taka made us that way. He made us that way, he made the animals that way, that each one is equipped with the, he talks about the claws of the lion, and I guess the wings of the birds, and there he says with the long beak and the long legs. Each one is fitted out precisely as he needs it for his panosa. And what he's saying is that the human being is also fitted out for the panosa which he gave him. In other words, the person, like he said before, I think that the Bechor Zavos probably believes that a person who is very, very strong, physically strong, and not such a big intellect, he'll feel an attraction to physical work, which I was looking out of my window today. I was watching there's a younger man moving in to one of the apartments here on Yeshiva Lane. And these were people who looked like very strong and cholash a little bit in the intellect, and they enjoyed what they were doing. I didn't hear any groans. They were proud of themselves. They were doing a good job. They were talking doing a good job, and so they probably feel fulfilled with that. Somebody else would not feel fulfilled with that. Shtetzach that the Chaim Zavos at this particular place doesn't talk about the question of whether a person should be learning all day or whether he should be out working to make a panosa. Obviously, we all know that there are huge shikul hadas in those things, and decisions have to be made. But I'm just quoting the Chovetz Chaim in the Indian, which he does talk about at this particular stage, and that is that when a person has to make a decision that he's going to make a panosa in one way or another, so he can be batuach in the Ribbono Shel Olam that he has a natiya towards that. He has the skills which are needed towards that. Perhaps if he's thinking of being a counselor of a people, so he has an empathy, he can feel for people, he understands what makes them tick, he can sort of think himself into their position and understand them very well, and mimela guide them to a path which will help them to cope with the problems. That's the Ribbono Shel Olam. The Ribbono Shel Olam gave us what we need. And I think that this is one of the lessons we can take out from Vayakel. Now we're getting towards the end of the Mishkan. Who knows what we'll say next week? We're already getting to Parshas Shkolim, getting to Purim a little bit. But this is a really beautiful, beautiful thought. What the Ramban really thought it worthwhile to talk it out in such a clear and significant manner, how these Nesoi Libam, these artisans who came to Bezalel, what heroes they were. Nobody wants to make a fool of himself. And nobody was going to say, look, I'm going to go and start making the most beautiful jewelry. And I've never had the tool in my hand which you use for that. Just have to tell you that people, you know, I like everybody else, you get asked some answers sometimes from people. And there was one young lady who just became from recently, and she asked me a question, and I felt totally stumped. I didn't know what to tell her. What was her question? She asked, look, she just became from, and she's learning now how a Yiddish Tochter is supposed to carry herself. And she's asking that from childhood on, her voice was such an unbelievable voice that her parents had her trained as an opera singer. And she was terrific at that. And she had a trained voice and was able to sing like an opera star. She was still training. So she asked me, should she go on with that? Because she learned that in the Frumme community, there's not much room for opera stars. And it's not much good telling her, well, Bess Yaakov puts on a play every Hanukkah. That's not what we're talking about. So what should we do? The Rebbeinu Shlalom had given her this enormous power, this enormous gift that she can make such beautiful music. And now she asked me, what should she do with that? If I would have had some sechel, I would have told her to go to an Odom Godel. I just told her, I said, look, I really can't know. I don't know how you would ever use it. But if God gave you this koyach, I would say continue with your lessons. Continue with lessons and see what will happen and where this will lead you. I have no idea what became of her. But I hope I didn't give her the wrong advice. Maybe it was wrong. I don't know. I don't know what an Odom Godel would have told her. But the Derech Klal, I mean, the Meise is, I felt empowered to tell her that because I knew I was quoting the Chavis Halvavas. But the Emes is that... I don't know whether that was the best advice to give at the time. Anyway, so this is the limit, and I think that all of us can use that very, very well.